Big topics, big ideas. Big Sky, Montana Talks.
Yeah, we got a message here on the Montana Talks app. This came from Chris in Billings. So we had a caller at the end of the 6 o'clock hour who says he was wearing a jacket or a shirt that said, I support ICE and Border Patrol, something to that effect. And the people at the fast food restaurant, the chain fast food restaurant, told him that he had to leave because of what he was wearing. Chris in Billings says, please tell us which and where regarding the fast food restaurant they need to be boycotted. I guess I would slightly disagree there, Chris. That's why, you know, I encourage the caller to, hey, I would follow up with management at the fast food restaurant. I would find out who the owner of that fast food restaurant is, because oftentimes these chains are franchises and they have local owners. And the owners, probably if they found out about what happened, they might be ticked and they might fire somebody for doing something like that. So if you were the owner of that restaurant and one of your employees stabbed you in the back like that, I guess, how would you want the situation to be handled? Would you want people to just come out and boycott you? Or would you want people to come and approach you first and say, hey, heads up, this is what happened? And then you get the opportunity to rectify it and make it right. Anyway, just a slight difference in approach on that one from my perspective. But, coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to bring Finley Warden back on the microphone. He is the very smart young man who joined us on the show from the Rockin' R in Bozeman the day after the Turning Point USA event. He sat in on the teachers union conference here in Montana, and boy did he expose some of the crazy woke anti-American nonsense that they were shoving down teacher and librarians' throats at this MFPE teachers conference. In fact, yesterday, you guys probably heard me talk about this on the show yesterday, and we've got a big story on our Montana Talks website about some of what was exposed at this teachers union conference. But libs of TikTok shared this audio that Finley Warden was able to capture and some of the highlights that he covered at this teachers union conference. And libs of TikTok shared this yesterday. Breaking: undercover audio reveals Montana teacher boasting about making sure students have access to porn books. Libs of TikTok adding, this must be investigated immediately. These teachers think they can get away with secretly grooming your kids. And what Libs of TikTok was highlighting was this footage, the audio that Finley Warden was able to grab, where a middle school librarian brags about adding a book with sexual content to her school library. The book was once removed from the library, but she describes how she brought it back. And, apparently the clip comes from a full hour-long session titled Advocacy and Law for Librarians, where they describe how they were trained on how to push back against book removal. So if there are offensive books that shouldn't be in kids' bookshelves, they're trying to go around the law to put the books back on the shelves, even highly sexualized content.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Do drugs and guns mix? Congress has long said no, but what will the Supreme Court say? The U.S. Supreme Court is now agreeing to review the federal law making it a crime to possess a firearm if you are a user of or addicted to controlled substances. The matter is a case out of the U.S. District Court in Eastern Texas involving Ali Daniel Hemani, who was charged with a federal crime after officers searching his home found marijuana, cocaine, and a 9mm pistol. His conviction was tossed by the Fifth Circuit, saying the law was overreaching if it was used in cases of people not actually intoxicated and not actually handling the firearm. The case will likely apply the historical tradition test as set forward by the Supreme Court's 2022 ruling in the Bruin case. Marijuana remains illegal at the federal level, but about half the states have decriminalized it to varying degrees. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Fox
rocks.
I'm Tanya J. Powers. Foo Fighters founder Dave Grohl and his wife Jordan Blum made their first red carpet appearance together at a formal event since it was revealed that he fathered a child outside their 21-year marriage. They attended a gala in Los Angeles on Saturday. Last year, Grohl revealed in a post on Instagram that he had welcomed a fourth child with a woman who was not his wife. Limp Bizkit bass player Sam Rivers has died, according to social media posts by his bandmates. They did not say where the 48-year-old Rivers died or how, calling him, quote, the soul in the sound. Rivers left the band in 2015, but reunited with them 3 years later. Limp Bizkit is set to begin a tour of Central and South America in November. And Rush is expanding its 50th anniversary tour of North America. 17 new dates have been added in cities including Philadelphia, Detroit, and Boston. All of the previously announced dates were sold out, and pre-sales for the added ones start next Monday. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, Finley Warden back on the microphone with us here. He is, I think, just barely 20. Finley, did you turn 20 yet, or are you still 19?
I just turned 20 about a week ago now, yeah.
Hey, all right. Well, happy birthday. Yeah, the last time we had you on the radio, you were still just 19 years old, but very sharp young man. Grew up in Missoula, lives in Bozeman now, if I'm not mistaken. But Finley, you just got major national attention with libs of TikTok for some of this, for some of this reporting that you are uncovering from inside the Montana Federation of Public Employees 2025 Educators Conference. Do you want to start with the audio, or do you want to give us a little bit of a scene setter on what you're about to play for us first?
Yeah, I can give you a little bit of a background. Just again, this audio clip was from a 1 hour long presentation about advocacy and lawfare education for librarians in the state, so that if there's parents who want a book that contains sexual material banned from the school library and the librarians get approached about it, or even if they get a legal challenge, they know how to push back. So this is the presenter. She's a librarian from Washington Middle School in Missoula, and she's going to describe what she calls her personal success story about getting a banned book back. So here's that clip.
I'll write my what I consider to be my victory story. About 4 years ago, I had a book in my library that my colleague removed without telling me. And my colleague did not, when she made this decision, was not truthful with our administrator that it was going to result in the book being removed from our library. I did not find out about it until after it was already gone. And this was a situation where this librarian struggled to maintain objectivity. And she struggled, again, her heart was in the right place, 100%, her heart was in the right place, but she was leading with her heart and not with her head. And it caused the book to essentially be censored from our library. So, just this year, I was able to order that book. It is on its way. Two copies will be sitting on my library shelf. And I did not even realize until I saw that the order was shipping how emotionally attached to that situation I was, because there was nothing I could really do about it for a couple of years. So I had to just sort of bide my time, get that book for my eighth graders if they requested it. But now my eighth graders will be able to pick it up on the shelf. So that's my little censorship success story.
So you heard it right there.
Yeah, she's talking about her personal success story there, Finley.
Yeah.
And describe this book. So basically, a colleague sees this book and is like, okay, this is inappropriate for junior high school kids. Describe this book and how inappropriate, apparently, it truly is.
Yeah, so it's funny. If you notice in that clip, she didn't even mention what the book was. I went to go walk up to her after the presentation was over, and I just asked, hey, what was that book you were talking about? And she goes, actually, it was a whole book series. The book series is called Heartstopper. It's a graphic novel comic book series. And she kind of leans into my ear and whispers, it's not, she says, it's not really bad. It's not that bad. But the fifth book, I'm not even sure if I should be having that in my library. Like, it's a little racy even for me. So she admits, even to me, that this whole book series, and if you look into what it contains far-left activism around non-binary identity, trans identity. It talks about condom usage for minors. So it's completely and totally inappropriate. All of it is. But even she recognizes to some degree that it is inappropriate for her eighth graders or her for her middle school. And she's even uncomfortable with it, it seems.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then what was the other audio clip? Because so far you've released two different audio clips. And by the way, I would add, this is basically a public meeting. This is public interest. She's giving a presentation to a big group of people. This is not like you and her were having a private conversation in a coffee shop here. She is giving a public presentation when a lot of teachers there are on the public dime.
Yeah, that's right. This was an education conference that many teachers from across the state were required to go to. It was hosted at Big Sky High School in Missoula, so it was on public property. And to go into this next clip that I got that some national figures, including Andy Ngo, reposted on Twitter yesterday, this came from what's called the DEI Art Commission in Montana. It's a commission of art teachers on the university and K through 12 level across the school, across the state, who believe in DEI and wants to implement it into their classrooms. And despite us being in a time where DEI is, I mean, if you openly call it that, you're going to be canceled because parents know what that is now. They are still openly and proudly calling what they are doing DEI.
Yeah, and hold that clip for just a second here because I'm looking at the clock, and I think this audio clip would take us through the break. But let's just set it up here for a second. So this was the other footage that Finley Warden unveiled. By the way, follow him at Finley Warden on X. At a diversity, equity, and inclusion presentation, a DEI art educator compared censorship of nude children to Hitler's Nazi regime. And this is yet another audio clip that comes from the Montana Federation of Public Employees 2025 Educators Conference that was also in partnership, as Finley told us, with the Montana Art Education Association DEI Committee. Finley added this on X. He says, what these people say when they think no one is listening should concern every parent in America. The teachers' unions must be held accountable. More clips from the conference coming soon. We're going to play this one for you right after the Farm and Ranch Report here in just a quick few minutes. So stand by.
Fox on set.
Instagram teen accounts are getting an upgrade. Content shown to teens on the platform will now be restricted to things that they could see in a PG-13 movie. So nothing that would be rated R. Meta has built an AI to run over the hundreds of millions of pieces of content that are produced on Instagram. And the accounts and individual videos that are not appropriate for teens are removed from the teen account experience. Parents can also go in and make the standards even more restrictive if they want. Tara Hopkins, the global director of public policy at Instagram, tells us they are listening to parents and the changes are a direct result of those conversations.
We are continually listening to parents to really understand from parents what they want to, what the experience they want to have when their teenager is on Instagram. The revamped experience now guided by PG-13 is responding exactly to those kinds of conversations that we've been having with parents.
For Fox on Tech, I'm Madison Allworth, Fox Business.
This is House Call for Health. Friendship is an important part of most people's lives, but it plays a particularly significant role in the lives of older people. A study recently published in the journal Research on Aging says for seniors especially, having friends increases happiness. The research also found doing small favors for close friends, gestures like offering them a ride or lending a helping hand, makes people feel happy and gives them a sense of purpose in their lives. Both men and women benefit from friendship, but with men, friendships often center on shared activities, while for women, friendship tends to be focused on emotional closeness and communication. That study looked at 180 adults around Austin, Texas, with an average age of 74. This, as a study conducted at the University of Michigan, found older adults who help out their friends tend to feel more positive emotions in their day-to-day lives. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Backlash from the countryside as groups like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association are calling out President Trump for wanting to increase beef imports from Argentina. NCBA's Colin Woodall.
Well, first and foremost, we're not supportive of what the president is pitching.
And one of the things we're thinking about doing is beef from Argentina.
And we're extremely disappointed in the comments that he did make. We're hearing from producers who voted for President Trump and now basically are feeling attacked by the very guy they voted for. And I think the president needs to understand that. We've made that very clear in the conversations we've had, that this is not just about the marketplace, but it is about the overall reputation of the administration, because he has not taken the time to sit down and really understand how beef pricing works, the economics of this industry. And we made it very clear we're willing to sit down and have that conversation with him. This is not just about how prices will react in the future. It's about how we have already been hit as an industry, whether it's the president, whether it's the Secretary of Agriculture. I don't think there's an awareness that even the most innocuous of a comment, even if it's just a passing comment, can have significant ramifications on the cattle markets. We've also had longstanding concerns regarding foreign animal diseases and what's really going on the ground in Argentina. Foot and mouth disease virus can travel on fresh and frozen product. We're asking members of Congress that are friends of ours to also call the president or text the president and let him understand what he's done to hurt us as cattle producers.
I'm Wayne Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, hey, by the way, I now have a copy in hand of a letter, a Dear Colleague letter that was sent from Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction out to all district superintendents. This went out last night. I've got a copy here in hand, and I think we may even hear from Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, here later this morning on this show. But as I understand it, the reason this letter went out is because of the reporting and what has been uncovered here by Finley Warden, who is our fill-in producer here this morning, our guest producer on the show, and he's also the young man who broke this story over the weekend after sitting in on the MFPE Teachers Union Conference. All right, Finley, tee up the next audio clip for us.
Yeah, so this next audio clip is from this DEI commission we mentioned, where she talks about comparing naked photos of children to Hitler's Nazi regime. So here we go.
So, yeah, Finley, break it down for us. Give us your reaction to what she said there. I know for some of our listeners, it might have been a little bit hard to hear. So highlight what stood out to you.
Yeah. So if you didn't hear it right there, she's a this is a professor at the University of Montana. She said that if she was a K through 12 teacher, she would use Hitler as an example of censorship. And she also used the example of censorship of censoring nude images of children. There's this artist who's famous for taking disgusting sexual pictures of her children and putting them up in displays in museums. And she compared the censorship of that to the censorship that Hitler brought out through his Nazi party.
Wow. And again, we're talking to K through 12 educators here. So it's like, tell us again why. Like, it's one thing if you're in a museum and there truly is an artistic reason behind whatever it is that you're doing, although sometimes that's even a stretch, right? But you're talking to K through 12 educators here at a teachers conference. So tell us again why you are so intent on showing naked pictures or nude pictures of kids, like, right? And Finley, I don't know how you kind of interpret this, especially given all the woke garbage you've probably had to see growing up in Missoula as somebody who just turned 20 years old. But I remember, you know, it was very impressionable on me as a young kid in the 80s. There were movies about the Holocaust that were coming out. There were lots of movies exposing the horrors of the Holocaust. So I feel like for 80s, 90s kids like me, it was very well ingrained, the horrors of the Holocaust. And, you know, Hitler and his regime actually, you know, when I think of nude bodies and Hitler's regime, it just brings back just despicable, sickening imagery, frankly.
Yeah, well, imagine how I had to, how I felt sitting there. I was sitting in a room just listening to this presentation, trying to keep a straight face, knowing that I was recording all this while all these teachers, including some of them were elementary school teachers, were sitting there having this discussion like no parent was in the room, like no parent would ever hear this ever.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then, well, hold that thought, too, because I want to also kind of get your take on what else you heard. What else is still yet to come out as well? Because I understand you may have even more where these two audio clips came from and these two stories came from. So we'll come back to Finley Warden here in just about 60 seconds or so after this Fox News update here at the bottom of the hour. And then we'll open up the phone lines for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. All right. In fact, it looks like we'll get to your phone calls and more here in about 60 seconds. Stand by. Back after this. With Finley Warden, who is filling in as our guest producer here this morning. Finley, the other things that you highlighted about this woke teachers union conference is some of the other things. You know, the DEI seminar that they had where they bragged about continuing these DEI programs and doing it despite pushback from parents. And apparently one even admitted to breaking student privacy rules. You had another session that taught teachers to play dumb and ignore parents who questioned DEI or critical race theory being taught in the classroom. We went over the librarian story, and then there was a session on microaggressions in the workplace. Oh, for Pete's sake. What more do you have to come from that conference?
Well, there's quite a bit more I have. I'm surprised myself sitting there for 2 days. I have a wealth of far left clips I could play. But that was kind of a theme of the whole entire conference. There's lots of talk about DEI, specifically around how teachers were recognizing the background surrounding it. Some of them responded as, we do not care about the backlash. We will just continue to do whatever we want, and we don't care about how parents responded. But other teachers, in a way, took, I think, a more nefarious response, and instead of changing what we teach, how can we better talk to parents so that when they come to us with concerns about DEI or critical race theory, we can just dissuade them and make them think that there's nothing happening in the classroom when really things are just continuing as business as normal with their normal DEI and CRT curriculum.
Yeah, and these are the same people who demand that police officers wear body cameras so they can capture every moment and every interaction between police officers and criminals, or suspects at least. But yet, they don't want any interaction between them and kids being captured. And they're straight up. And the other angle here, too, Finley, is what are they doing that is in violation of state law right now?
Well, to my knowledge, Montana has in place bans on critical race theory, bans on certain far-left ideologies that specifically violate civil rights in this country. Unfortunately, I don't think any of our laws in Montana have any enforcement behind them, so I don't think we're going to see these teachers prosecuted or anything like that. But I do think there's steps that leaders in this state can take to curb this ideology. For example, the superintendent of public instruction, she can say to MFPE, you no longer have the ability to do professional development for teachers anymore. You can keep holding your conferences, but teachers will no longer get the professional development credits from it anymore.
Interesting. And then that might also then defund it essentially, because then the local schools can't, you know, force the teachers to go and can't use taxpayer funds to pay for it. Or at least if they do, they're not getting professional development credit for it. They'll get that through other more legit sources. Yeah, great point. Speaking of the superintendent, I've got her dear colleague letter in front of me where she references specific Montana law. I'll get to that next.
Habitat.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak on a caller, and then I will read some highlights from this dear colleague letter sent to school district superintendents, to all district superintendents, by Montana's superintendent of public instruction, Susie Hedlund. All of this in light of this woke, far-left, anti-American propaganda that was pushed at the MFPE teachers conference here just last week, that Finley Warden is exposing here and doing a great job at it, by the way. First though, let's go to Steve in Ballantyne on the phone lines. Steve, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. Well, a couple nights ago I was at a grocery store, and I seen these three younger they're just, kids basically. And they looked very interesting as their dress code and how they looked, right? Well, I was going to checkout line and they come in behind me. And Aaron, it's like the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Do it, don't do it. And I kept looking at the young guy and I had to really study this person to make sure, is it a guy or is it a girl? And I finally determined it was a guy. And everything that you could possibly imagine was purist. And he was all dressed in black, something that looks like that there's no way that he could hold down a job, right? I couldn't handle it anymore, Aaron. I turned to look at him. I go, you need to come down to reality. He got really mad, and one of the girls that he's with said, don't, be good, or whatever, And as the lady gave me my credit card and stuff, or the receipt back, she had this little smirk on her face, and as I'm going out, one gal come up to me, and she goes, she was like apologizing, and I'm going like, sweetie, I've worked every day of my life. I said, you guys got to start pulling your weight. And then I decided to leave. But, Aaron, I couldn't handle it no more. He got offended when I said, you need to come down to reality. So that's what we're working with.
It'd be pretty interesting, though, if we went back and got some photos of some of our listeners and what we looked like back in the day when we were kids. And I'm sure there's a lot of us that are like, man, I'll tell you what, if I ran into Steve at the grocery store, he'd probably be like, what are you wearing? What are you doing? Especially some 80s and 90s kids, or maybe even some of you 60s kids as well. Yeah, it's funny. I was driving down the road one time, and I saw this guy he was like his own rap performance. He was like recording his own music video while he was bebopping down the streets. And I almost had that thing in the back of my head go, man, what is that kid wearing? What is this kid doing right now? And then I'm like, oh, man. if I had a dollar for every time somebody could have said, what is that kid wearing, based off of whatever I was wearing when I was a kid, I'd probably have a pretty good 401k going right now. All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you, though. Let me get to this letter here. Well, frankly, you know, say what you want about kids. You expect kids every now and then to wear kind of different stuff, right? You know, they're kids, right? But what about these older folks at these No Kings rallies? In fact, hey, Finley, before I get to this letter, Finley Warden, you want to throw your mom back on? If you're there, let's...
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you back with us?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Give us your reactions to the so-called No Kings rallies. I played some great sound bites in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Laura Ingraham was calling it the No Brains rallies, but... Man, look at some of these folks, some of the costumes they're wearing, some of the outfits they're wearing. Look, seeing a teenager at the grocery store wearing something funky, you know, hey, they're kids, right? But these folks who are in their 70s that are running around doing all these crazy, goofy antics, it's like, really, this is what you're doing in your seasoned years in life. What's your thoughts, Finley?
It just shows how unserious, I mean, the quote-unquote pushback against Trump is. I mean, if you look at these protests, like you said, there's people dancing around in dinosaur costumes, just picking fights with people, people in tiaras dancing around like ballerinas. Like, this is not serious. And it's these super old boomers who I guess have nothing better to do with their time. I mean, it's the kind of haters and losers, the freaks and losers getting out in the streets, finding an opportunity to go buck wild.
Did you know who that Nick Shirley guy was? I played a soundbite from Nick Shirley on with Laura Ingraham last night. Were you familiar with this young investigative reporter?
I am. Before he was into politics, actually, he used to be like a kids YouTuber. Me and my brother used to watch his YouTube videos when we were kids. So it's kind of funny that he's doing politics now.
What would he talk about on YouTube back then?
I don't know. It was a lot of like just like prank videos and just basic stuff like that. Nothing political at all. But I think his story is he went on a religious mission for 2 years and then he came back and started doing political content ever since.
Interesting. Well, this kid is a character. I'm going to play the soundbite for those who missed it earlier. It's very quick here. And then we'll get Finley's reaction to this as well. So he was on with Laura Ingraham last night and Laura was talking. Well, let me just roll it for you.
But Nick, I found that when I was watching the videos, and I wasn't there, but you can correct me. It seemed like mostly older people. There were some young people, obviously. You interviewed a few of them, but it seemed like a lot of old geezer types who just were wishing they had been alive during Woodstock and missed the Vietnam era. But now this is, you know, their moment in the sun.
Yeah, a lot of these people, there are a lot of old individuals out there, and you see them in the subway going to the protest. They're all amped up to go to these protests because they literally think Trump's a king, and they think they're about to save the country. And so you have all these old people just ramped up.
Oh, I was dying laughing. You have all these old people just amped up. Finley, your reaction.
I mean, just again, like I said, I mean, these protesters are just not taking any of this seriously. I mean, it's I think you said it best earlier. It's the old Woodstock types. They want to relive the 70s like they lived it. Probably high as hell on pot. Yeah, that's my take.
Or worse. You know, this is really interesting to get your take, Finley, here, because you just turned 20 years old, and you know, I was at this incredible event. I was at the 90th birthday party for broadcast great Norma Ashby on Saturday night, and probably 200 people in this room and a lot of older folks. And man, I tell you what, you could just see it. You could feel it in that room. What an incredible group of people, just people that you look up to, people that you respect, right? And people of all political backgrounds, people of all. And I thought about it. I was like, wow, I feel like I'm hanging out with my grandma and her friends. And my grandma was basically the same age as Norma Ashby before my grandma passed away. And it's like, wow, this is like sitting with, and it's just like, you look at this generation, the generation of these older folks that are marching in the streets with these goofball anti-American antics and this Never Trumper stuff. And it's just like, wow, is that really how you want to go out in your later years in life? Is just as a straight up embarrassment. I mean, that's what it is. These people are embarrassing. They're embarrassing themselves. They look like a bunch of kids. And they're acting like a bunch of kids. It's like they never grew up, and they just got trapped back in the 60s or something.
Yeah, the contrast really is stark. I mean, kind of how I look at it is the hippie kind of nose ring purple hair types of my generation, the non-binary girls, they'll probably grow up to be just like that. So I think it's probably not a trend that will stop with my generation, but it does show you the contrast to people that just live good, decent lives and work to contribute to their state, contribute to their community, compared to these radicals who do not have a God. Their God is social justice, and that's not a real God.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think that seems so apparent that the vast majority of this radical left that's taking to the streets in this No Kings movement, they truly believe there are no kings. They will have no king over their life, and certainly that includes no King Jesus. There is no God of their life. They reject God. They reject faith. They reject all of that.
Yeah, and that's they say they're marching for the United States. They say they're marching for the Constitution. But if you reject those fundamental things, then you aren't marching for the America that the founders started. You aren't marching for the America that's made our country so amazing. And that's evident because this is the same group of people, the same group of crazy boomers that were once the hippies, that have voted our country into oblivion, voted these radical Democrats into office, that have just expanded the state more and more and more.
You're right. They're the reason our country is in the mess that it's in right now. $36 trillion in debt and climbing, all this woke nonsense being pushed in our schools. And all these people at these No Kings rallies claiming to, we're for the Constitution. Oh, yeah, sure you are. I saw you same people at the gun control rally 6 months ago. But, tell us again how you're for the Constitution. For Pete's sake, nobody is buying that nonsense. All right, Finley, great to get your thoughts. You can jump in on the conversation as well. 406-294-0970.
Fox Sports Update.
This one in the air, right center field. This is empty, two outs, three pitches later, two runs are in.
The two most exciting words in sports, Game 7. Coming tonight on Fox Sports 1 Sunday evening, the Toronto Blue Jays won a must-win Game 6 at home over the Seattle Mariners, 6-2. Addison Barger and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit home runs for the Blue Jays, who got 5 2/3 innings pitching from rookie Treya Savage, who picked up a second win of the postseason. Josh Naylor hit a home run for the Mariners. Tonight, Game 7. Whoever wins will move into the World Series. The Mariners, the only Major League team that's never played in the Fall Classic, will start George Kirby on the mound, while Toronto turns to Shane Bieber. The game will be seen on both Fox Network TV and Fox Sports 1 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Waiting in the wings, the reigning World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, who swept the Milwaukee Brewers in four games. NFL Week 7 concludes tonight with a doubleheader. 7 p.m. Eastern Time at Detroit. Primetime matchup between the 4-2 Lions and the 5-1 Buccaneers. Detroit favored at home by 5.5 points. Kickoff 7 p.m. Eastern. 3 hours later in Seattle, the 4-2 Seahawks will be home against the 2-3 Texans. Sunday night football in San Francisco. 49ers beat the Falcons 20-10, improved their record to 5-2. Christian McCaffrey ran for 129 yards and 2 touchdowns for San Francisco. Mac Jones again started in place of injured Brock Purdy. Jones threw for 152 yards with an interception. Atlanta's Michael Penix Jr. passed for 241 yards and a touchdown. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels left yesterday's 44-22 loss to the Cowboys with a hamstring injury. Daniels will have an MRI today. FoxSports.com. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and FoxSports.com. Securing America.
The investigation continues into the discovery of a hunter stand in an area close to the Palm Beach Airport, which could have potentially given an individual a clear view of the area where President Trump routinely exits Air Force One at that airport. Monday on Fox and Friends, FBI Assistant Director Dan Bongino explained how the investigation into the stand is being handled.
We have what's called an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding with the Secret Service, where we will investigate after that.
He then went on to describe what's been done since the stand was found.
It's being flown to our lab. I believe it's there right now. And all of the forensic tools we have, from digital tools to biometric tools, they are all going to be applied to try to find out who put this up there.
Threats against President Trump have remained a concern following his shooting in Butler, Pennsylvania, and a planned attack at the President's Golf Club in West Palm Beach. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, I still got to get to this Dear Colleague letter that was sent out by Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund to all of the district superintendents, reminding them of the laws on the books here in Montana. But, yeah, basically she's making it clear in this letter that what was being pushed on teachers and librarians at this teachers union conference is not in line with the law of the state of Montana. If I don't get to it here before this hour wraps up, don't worry. We got a couple more hours to go. Finley's with us all morning as well. Let's sneak on another caller. We've got Philip in Manhattan. Philip, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It dropped once. I'm glad that the narrative can get through, even if it doesn't totally align with what you're saying. I've listened to AM radio for a really long time. They say that AM radio is the immune system for America, but I'm feeling like we have like an autoimmune disorder. And I'm listening to you guys, and I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, because here I am. I'm not a no-Trumper. I do believe in God, but I don't think that President Trump is good for our democracy. I think he's dangerous. And it's weird, because I'll reach out to people that I love and admire and respect, and I don't know what Kool-Aid they're drinking, but the thing that I can see is that everybody's rallying around third grade name calling people old and idiots and wacko and crazies and hyped up on marijuana. And that if I think that President Trump is in any kind of danger, suddenly I get wrapped into that and I get mischaracterized as
We're rallying around tax cuts and tax relief and not getting the largest tax hike in history. We're rallying around peace in the Middle East and eventually peace in Ukraine and the hostages coming home finally. And we're rallying around American energy, and we're rallying around, you know, less crime in the streets, and we're rallying around getting these criminal illegal aliens that are invading this country and trying to turn this country into something other than a free republic that it's supposed to be. So what are you rallying around? What are you for?
The Constitution.
Like which part?
And, you know, they say
the Second Amendment?
All the Constitution. Due process.
Due process.
Freedom of religion.
Freedom, we've got due process.
Freedom of press.
Well, you weren't for freedom of the religion if you were supporting Joe Biden over the last 4 years.
I didn't say I supported Joe Biden.
Okay.
And that's the thing. You can't mischaracterize somebody that says, hey, President Trump is being a child, is being dangerous, and say that we don't believe in those things.
You can criticize his tactics.
Too,
you can criticize
his beautiful bill spends more money than it saves. Immigration, you tackle all these people and you send them away and break up their families without giving them due process, right? You can say
there is due process.
Things,
see, you're straight up. You are straight up putting out Democrat Party talking points right here. You're putting out Democrat. This
That's
is what
the
we
thing,
call.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. There is due process for the illegal aliens that are being shipped out of this country. That's why they are going through the process and then being shipped out of here. Again, you're providing cover fire for the illegal aliens that were allowed to invade this country. So you're just telling. So you're telling us right now that you supported this criminal, illegal alien invasion because you don't want to allow this country
to
be secure.
It doesn't have to be that way. You can't mischaracterize me and say I'm a pro Biden person, or that, you know, I can be not a xenophobe and also love humanity, right? And that's the thing is, if you go into this childish,
if you love humanity, how can you defend a border invasion that allowed over 300,000 kids to go missing? How can you claim to defend and love humanity when you allowed kids to be shipped into human trafficking?
Against Trump and support that. It's not an either or thing, and that's the false narrative.
But again, you're sitting here defending illegal aliens.
You're making fun of people, telling them they're old, hyped up on drugs. You're making fun of people And where did respect go for individual humans who are...
These are people who are calling for violence to be used against federal law enforcement agents. They are calling for ICE to be crushed. They are calling, and we are calling it what it is. We are calling it for reality. These people are insane. They are nuts, and they need to be called out for exactly what they are and the harm that they have caused to this country and the harm they're continuing to cause to this country. And that's why you're just spewing out Democrat Party talking points right now.
Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step. But you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
KDUL.